thinking that he should probably wait for Filch to come back, Harry sank into a moth-eaten chair next to the desk. There was only one thing on it, apart from his half-completed form, a large, glossy, purple envelope with silver lettering on the front. With a quick glance at the door to check that Filch wasn't on his way back, Harry picked up the envelope and read, "Quickspell, a correspondence course in beginner's magic." Intrigued, Harry flicked the envelope open and pulled out the sheaf of parchment inside. More curly silver writing on the front page said, "Feel out of step in the world of modern magic. Find yourself making excuses not to perform simple spells. Ever been taunted for your woeful wand work? There is an answer. Quickspell is an all-new fail-safe quick-result easy-learn course. Hundreds of witches and wizards have benefited from the Quickspell method. Madam Zed Nettles of Topsham writes, 'I had no memory for incantations and my potions were a family joke. Now, after a Quickspell course, I am the centre of attention at parties, and friends beg for the recipe of my scintillation solution.' Warlock DJ Prod of Didsbury says, 'My wife used to sneer at my feeble charms, but 1 month into your fabulous Quickspell course, I succeeded in turning her into a yak. Thank you, Quickspell.'" Fascinated, Harry thumbed through the rest of the envelope's contents. Why on earth did Filch want a Quickspell course? Did this mean he wasn't a proper wizard? Harry was just reading Lesson 1, Holding Your Wand, Some Useful Tips, when shuffling footsteps outside told him Filch was coming back. Stuffing the parchment back into the envelope, Harry threw it back onto the desk just as the door opened. Filch was looking triumphant. "That vanishing cabinet was extremely valuable," he was saying gleefully to Mrs. Norris. "We'll have Peeves out this time, my sweet." His eyes fell on Harry, and then darted to the Quickspell envelope, which, Harry realized too late, was lying 2 feet away from where it had started. Filch's pasty face went brick red. Harry braced himself for a tidal wave of fury. Filch hobbled across to his desk, snatched up the envelope, and threw it into a drawer. "Did you read?" he spluttered. "No," Harry lied quickly. Filch's knobbly hands were twisting together.
"If I thought you'd read my private... not that it's mine, for a friend, be that as it may, however..."
Harry was staring at him, alarmed. Filch had never looked madder. His eyes were popping, a tick was going in one of his pouchy cheeks, and the tartan scarf didn't help.
"Very well, go, and don't breathe a word, not that, however, if you didn't read... go now, I have to write up Peeves' report, go!"
Amazed at his luck, Harry sped out of the office, up the corridor and back upstairs. To escape from Filch's office without punishment was probably some kind of school record.
Harry, did it work?"
Nearly headless Nick came gliding out of a classroom. Behind him, Harry could see the wreckage of a large black and gold cabinet, which appeared to have been dropped from a great height.
"I persuaded Peeves to crash it right over Filch's office," said Nick eagerly. "Thought it might distract him."
"Was that you?" said Harry gratefully.
"Yeah, it worked. I didn't even get detention. Thanks, Nick."
They set off up the corridor together. Nearly headless Nick, Harry noticed, was still holding Sir Patrick's rejection letter.
"I wish there was something I could do for you about the headless hunt," Harry said.
Nearly headless Nick stopped in his tracks, and Harry walked right through him. He wished he hadn't. It was like stepping through an icy shower.
"But there is something you could do for me," said Nick excitedly.
"Harry, would I be asking too much?"
"But no, you wouldn't want..."
"What is it?" said Harry.
"Well, this Halloween will be my 500th death day," said Nearly Headless Nick, drawing himself up and looking dignified.
"Oh," said Harry, not sure whether he should look sorry or happy about this.
"Right. I'm holding a party down in one of the roomier dungeons. Friends will be coming from all over the country. It would be such an honour if you would attend. Mr. Weasley and Miss Granger would be most welcome too, of course, but I dare say you'd rather go to the school feast."
He watched Harry on tenterhooks.
"No," said Harry quickly, "I'll come." "My dear boy, Harry Potter at my death day party! And," he hesitated, looking excited, "do you think you could possibly mention to Sir Patrick how very frightening and impressive you find me?"
"Of course," said Harry.
Nearly headless Nick beamed at him.
"A death-day party?"
said Hermione keenly, when Harry had changed at last and joined her and Ron in the common room.
"I bet there aren't many living people who can say they've been to one of those. It'll be fascinating."
"Why would anyone want to celebrate the day they died?" said Ron, who was halfway through his potions homework and grumpy. "Sounds dead depressing to me." Rain was still lashing the windows, which were now inky black, but inside all looked bright and cheerful. The firelight glowed over the countless squashy armchairs, where people sat reading, talking, doing homework, or, in the case of Fred and George Weasley, trying to find out what would happen if you fed a filibuster firework to a salamander. Fred had rescued the brilliant orange fire-dwelling lizard from a Care of Magical Creatures class, and it was now smouldering gently on a table, surrounded by a knot of curious people. Harry was on the point of telling Ron and Hermione about Filch and the Quickspell course, when the salamander suddenly whizzed into the air, emitting loud sparks and bangs as it whirled wildly round the room. The sight of Percy bellowing himself hoarse at Fred and George, the spectacular display of tangerine stars showering from the salamander's mouth, and its escape into the fire with accompanying explosions, drove both Filch and the Quickspell envelope from Harry's mind.